Thank you for that medley of love songs out of the hymnal, God's Love for Us. This is Valentine's Night, February the 14th, the year of 2007. Let's begin with a word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer is just to orient us to why we're here. A little cold in here, kind of like some people's love life on Valentine's Day. Kind of cold in here, honey. We were talking before we turned on the mic, what is the most recorded song of all the secular songs, not Christmas or religious songs? And Gigi, who is our master on this kind of thing, and it's Yesterday, according to the Guinness Book of Records. Yesterday is the most recorded song. I thought, well, that's not a very good love song. Kind of love is all over. Yesterday everything was wonderful. Today, you're right, you made it terrible. Not quite that way, but that's the idea. And let's begin with a word of prayer. Any special prayer request? Yes. For Nathan? Let's be in prayer for Nathan. Let's be in prayer for Amber, two of our young people. I love the decade I grew up in for my teenage years. I would not want to be a teenager today. I would not want to do it. And I'm very thankful. Don't have to. Very thankful I don't even have to rear one. Like y'all do. Oh. Jim Passmore's are gone. They're their own problem now. Jim Langston's are grown and gone. Their problems are there. Of course, now they're bringing Jim Langston their problems. Bring them all over all the kids. Hey, Grandpa, bye. We'll be back soon sometime. Let's pray. Father, we praise you tonight that because of who and what you are, we can enjoy the things on earth. We can enjoy days like today. We can enjoy every day because you are the God of hope. You're the God of the heavens and of the earth. You're our God. Pray now your Spirit will lead us tonight in our study of love. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Today is Valentine's Day, and so much has been done in romantic love. Because of romantic love, a multitude of people have been led away from the truth because of love of a woman or a man. They didn't want to go to church where the truth was taught. And love's powerful. Romantic love is powerful. A few people, I suppose, have been brought to the truth through romantic love. Their spouse or their boyfriend, girlfriend, the person they loved, went to truth. So, okay, out of love I'll go. As Charlie Brown says, we'll do a lot of crazy things for love. And a lot of my pastor friends and a lot of theologians, people I read, they don't like that we use the same English word. We talk about romantic love and then what you and I have come to call spiritual love, love of the Holy Spirit. Which they want to find another word. I don't. I think there's something common in all categories of love. And it's that common power, force of love that makes even spiritual love so dynamic in our lives. We can ask ourselves, was it romantic love that caused Adam to make the decision that he made? There was the woman God had given to him, and she was spiritually dead as she stood before him and handed him the fruit from the tree. And Adam knew very well, if I take this fruit, I die today, spiritually. He has told me that. He's made that clear. Adam was not deceived. Adam was not working on emotion. He knew what was going to happen. And so Adam made a decision out of romantic love. That's the first Adam. I don't think it's too far stretching it that the second Adam went to the cross out of the force of love. Romantic love, well, he calls us his bride, doesn't he? He is the bridegroom, is he not? He even in the Old Testament called Israel his bride. The two will become one. And was it out of that kind of love? A love for his bride that he went to the cross. And we all know all kinds of things have been done historically out of love. We know that many people have given up, multitude, innumerable people, have given up their life because of love. Often, the object of their love has already died, but they didn't want to live without that love. The famous Shakespeare play of Romeo and Juliet. If she couldn't have him, she didn't want to live. A lot of people give up kingdoms for love. They will sacrifice money, their families, for love. Right, wrong, that's not my discussion. It's just, that's the power of it. We have so many passages that we've looked at in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 5, that so compelled by this love, meaning God's love for us, there's something in the love of God, direct divine love, love that comes through us by the Holy Spirit, spiritual love, and then romantic love of the human race that causes people to make all kinds of decisions. Spiritual love, romantic love. We studied how love can grow cold. Spiritual love, stay out of the Spirit, and human love can grow cold. So, love is just so powerful an instrument in the human race, in the way that God made us, that we would respond to it. Many people spend their whole life in misery because of broken love. Every now and then, especially in our society, it's more difficult. Two people find that love, and through thick and thin and hell and high water, they stay together. I just love it when I'm around, people have been celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. Every now and then, their 75th. That's a long time. 75 years with the same man, same woman. 50 years is phenomenal. Once in a while, I'll be at a restaurant, and there'll be a couple, and I'll just toast them. And I just think that's a wonderful thing to spend with all of the enemies to... even romantic love, all the enemies, and yet they made it through. I'm sure they've had to forgive each other 1,000 times again and again, but they just stayed there. Don't get heavy on me if you've gotten a divorce. Don't do that. Let me encourage young people to make that decision with someone that they think that God has brought to them, and didn't know there's going to be a big battle. Again, that's why the first ingredient of spiritual love to Paul is long-suffering. Just know it's going to be a lot of suffering. But we're committed to each other in this love. And so I love Valentine's Day. I remember growing up, it was a very important day for my mom. And one funny event was when you're a little kid, you make the Valentine. And mothers make such a big deal. And I have zero art ability. I mean, you've seen me write. You've seen me draw. And she would just go, oh, it's so beautiful. So I remember when I was a teenager, as Valentine approached, she was talking about that. So I said, you know what? I can save myself about $5 from a card, these beautiful cards. Just go make me one. So I went and made one. And she she loved it, but not quite like she did when I was 8 or 9. And it's a good time. And every day we have to, in our study of spiritual love, we have to remind ourselves to be in the Spirit, to love one another as He has loved us. Love is, as we're going to see, people, I'm working on a passage. I don't even know the number of hours, and I haven't calculated them, that we're going to study in the Gospel of Christ in Philippians 1 that is just going to boggle your mind. It is, I have spent, one might say, way too much time, but certainly not. But for the study that it's in and the way I wanted to go through it, but it is so powerful on how important the Gospel of Christ is for our Christian life. Our momentum is the Gospel for Christians. And Philippians 1 is going to show you. It's going to show us. I'm just so thankful. I'm thankful personally. I don't know what y'all are with the Sunday morning study. I'm thankful that the Spirit took me on His journey. It is just so many things about the Gospel for Christians that has come alive to me in this study. And it's just powerful. Really powerful. And that we live by it. So it's powerfully important that we understand it from the beginning. But how the Gospel of Christ that we're studying is the new commandment in effect. And we'll be seeing that. So right now we are in the Gospel of John 13. And hope that y'all all have a wonderful Valentine's Day and evening. Now, Jim, y'all are going to celebrate tomorrow night. Well, tomorrow, yeah. Good. That's good. That's good. Okay. Like I said last night, I think this is a wonderful way to do it. Honey, it's really the 15th. And that way, boy, she'll get just 5 dozen of roses and 10 pounds of chocolate and all kinds of stuff. Because it's going to be cheap tomorrow compared to today. You'll walk into a lot of flowers and stores, and they're even going to have a table right there at the front. Roses, half price, a dozen for, you know, like $12. Yesterday were $40, today it's $12. And, because you can't hold that over. Those suckers are dying. And they sit there too long, and it's gone. So get them tomorrow. But John 13. 34 and 35 is our study. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. That you love one another. Now we studied the conjunction, and we were looking last week, also likewise. And people, that's very important. The standard of love. But love just is not love the way you want it. This is important in life, isn't it? How many children, how many little boys and little girls growing up learn about love and how to love from their parents? See their mother and dad kiss. See their mother and dad hold hands. See their mother and dad enjoy each other. Even see how they handle problems and their fights. But see how, even through the fight, on the other side of it, they love. Children learn by all of that. They learn. That's why I think a lot of people don't know how to love. I think that's why a lot of little girls lose their virginity so early. They're looking for love that they're not getting at home. And maybe a lot of adult girls, too. But you got to know how. This is not, as strange as it sounds, this is not instinct. How to love. Little boy, how to love a girl. Little girl, how to love a boy. It's got to be taught. And so rarely are we taught. And so rarely do we really see it from our parents. And so when we get into a marriage, explodes. We don't know how it works. It's, as we all, the old joke, it's more difficult to get a gun license, a hunting license, an automobile license, than it is to get a marriage license. And yet, when we talk about the whole emotional makeup of man, woman, a lot of life torment comes in this area. So this little phrase, now this conjunction, kind of jumps out at us. as I have loved you. I now incorporate in my weddings. I remind the man that this woman will learn how to love him by the way he loves her. That's a powerful statement. That's a heavy responsibility. Because a lot of times, naturally, men just think love is all on the woman's side. No, Scripture, how you love her is going to show her how to love you. And so here we have the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, as I have loved you. That's how we are to do it. Okay. Now, love one another. And we saw last week another the same kind, meaning other believers. How important that is. And where we left off was, while the glorification of Jesus Christ at the right hand of God the Father, and we move into the law of liberty, and the ending, and I said this was the ending of the law, the Mosaic law, to move into the law of the new commandment, and I left off by saying, that's really not true. I want to be accurate with you as a teacher, is that God never intended Israel to live by the Mosaic law. He never intended that. It was given to Israel while they were in the wilderness to open their eyes as to their condition. But what happened was Israel was so taken with it, they chose to continue to live under the law. And many people in the world today, Christians, choose to live by the law. We're making this big battle. Oh, they're tearing down the Ten Commandments. And people get upset with me when I say, amen, good, I'm glad. And they're tearing down this, and they're taking the Ten Commandments away from the kids. All this stuff. It was never given to the kids by God. Now, you want to put up the Divine Nine? I'll fight for that. Put up the fruit of the Spirit? I'll fight for that. And what's beautiful, there is no law against them. There is no reason for tearing down the Divine Nine, the Nine Fruit of the Spirit. Because he said, against such things, there is no law. We could put up the Divine Nine everywhere. It's not against any law whatsoever. It is so powerful. Most people don't even know about the Divine Nine. So, let's continue at that point now with that momentum of choosing to live that way rather than by the grace life that God has given to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Point one. The commandments of the Mosaic Law. The commandments of the Mosaic Law were designed to give consciousness of the power of sin. The commandments of the Mosaic Law, and I'm not speaking just of the ten, I'm speaking of the some 1,400 of these commandments, are designed to give the consciousness of sin and the weakness of the flesh. And by giving this consciousness, by the giving of this consciousness of the nature of man to sin, giving to man a knowledge of sin, the more he tries to follow the commands of the Mosaic Law, the more he is reminded of his own weakness. There's a principle that goes with point one. The commands of the Mosaic Law emphasize sin and man's condition related to sin. It reminds man of the penalty of sin. This is why so many Christians are occupied with sin and the penalty of sin. Because they live under the law. We're going to see in Philippians 1 in the Gospel of Christ, we're going to see what is it that you, if you consciously think about it, what directs me on how I ought to live as a Christian. And I'm going to show you, to many, it's the Mosaic Law. It's the Mosaic Law. And we're going to study some things in that regard. But the principle under part one is that the commandments of the Mosaic Law emphasize sin and man's condition related to sin, reminds man of the penalty of sin. The commands of the Mosaic Law orient man to the fact that he is a sinner and he needed a Savior. And it amazes me the number of people that still choose to live under the Mosaic Law. But it also explains some other things. It explains why people are oriented to sin and therefore thrive on judging others. Sin is the big issue with them, and they thrive on judging others and themselves. This is why so many Christians experience stress, anxiety, and depression, because they're occupied with sin of themselves and sin of others. They thrive on thinking about sin, their own sins, judging, being judged, being approved, disapproved. The performance trap is so powerful. Satan's lie is so powerful. Why? Because it depends on sin and failure. People are so impressed with sin that they think that God will take away their salvation if they sin. What, when you think that, your thinking then is, my sin is more powerful than the work of Christ on the cross. My sin is more powerful than the love of God when you're occupied with sin. They think that people are so occupied with sin that maybe God won't take away my salvation, but it will cause God to abandon them. And therefore, what do? They in turn abandon those who sin in a way they don't like. It's my thinking that God will at least abandon me if I sin. Therefore, if you sin, I'm going to abandon you. It's the view of God. It's a view of sin. Point two. They prefer a love that does not impose on them. They prefer a love that glorifies the flesh. A love that is grounds for their boasting how much they love God. People, if you think that the dynamics of the Christian way of life is the obedience to the law, you are burdened with the weakness of the flesh. I want to repeat that because it's very important. If you think the dynamics of the Mosaic Law, the dynamics of the Christian way of life is in obedience to the law, some list of do and do that your denomination or your church has put together, you are burdened with the weakness of the flesh and the power of sin. You can't do it. And you will eventually fail. You will eventually realize, I can't do this. So you are burdened with the weakness of the flesh and you're burdened with the power of sin. Your Christian life is characterized by repentance and confession and feeling sorry and fighting the flesh with the flesh. It's like the various people I know that years of their adult life is battling either alcohol or nicotine, and they're battling it with the flesh, and it's a constant failure. I was with two friends one night, one afternoon for lunch, and I looked, and people, it was amazing. They were both sitting there, and there's one lives in another state. They were sitting, and they both had a nicotine patch on to stop smoking, and they were both smoking. And I looked at them and said, do you people know what you're putting into your body? You're doubling your nicotine. You're not kind of evening it out. And they both sort of, sheepishly laughed. They knew it. And that's what people do in their spiritual life. I'm going to battle sin with the flesh. You're not going to. The flesh is going to win. The flesh is going to win. Point three. But this new commandment given to the church by Jesus Christ, spiritual love, gives you a consciousness, an awareness of Jesus Christ. Not in loving for Him, but His love for you. This is powerful. If you want to go through life thinking about the law and do's and don'ts, I can tell you right now you're going to go through life thinking about sin and failures of the flesh and judgment and abandonment, frustration, depression, anxiety. You go through life thinking about the new commandment. By its very nature, you're going to be occupied with the love of Christ. By the very nature of going through life thinking about the Ten Commandments, about law, about some list of do and do, you're going to be thinking about obeying, failing, sinning, and sins, and judgments, and separations, and whether I'm worthy, and all of this stuff that goes with it. You go through life thinking about the new commandment, and you're going to be thinking about the love of Christ for you. Obey the commandments of the Mosaic law, you become aware of the power of sin and the weakness of your flesh. But obey the law of Christ to love one another as He has loved you, you become aware of the power of love. Take your pick. You want to be aware of the power of sin, or you want to be aware of the power of love? You get to choose. Well, maybe if we so occupy with the power of sin, we won't do it. See, the thinking is so erroneous because you're just going to fail more and more. That's why God gave the commandment, gave the law. Think about His love. You're going to reach the point where Paul says, I'm so compelled by this love. This is what I want to do. This is what I don't want to do. Point four. Simply stated, commands of the Mosaic law, as you think of them and try to obey them, you are occupied with sin. Don't do this, do this, don't do this. You will become aware of the power of sin. Now you're occupied with the power of sin. You start excusing yourself because you can't just continually be judging yourself. So many Christians, so many Christians, including us probably at various times in our life, we just, our sin level is adultery, murder, fornication, homosexuality, maybe stealing. Those are the big ones. We don't want to sit there and think about arrogance, pride, jealousy, gossip, slander, judging. Well, if I went around thinking about all of that, boy, I'd just be a nervous wreck and I'll just be a total collapse. That's the whole point. You can't keep the law. And if you break one little part of the law, people, I got news for you. You are guilty of them all. I would never think of adultery against my wife. But have you ever thought about arrogance and pride? Have you ever gossiped? Have you ever slandered? According to God, you're guilty of all. You're guilty of all of them. I'm just putting it simply under point four now. So if you think about and try to live by the commands of the Mosaic law, this is going to be always in your mind. But if you think of the new commandment by Jesus Christ to love one another, you are by definition, caused to think of Jesus Christ and His love for you. You're not caused to think about sin. You're not caused to think about your sins or the sins of others. You're going to help another believer be restored. We studied this in Galatians 6. You do it, be sure you're in the Spirit, so that you don't fall. How would we fall? We become a sinner. We start judging them. We start being occupied with their sin, how bad they are, what they've done, and how they've hurt. You get your eyes off of that and get your eyes on the cross. You get your eyes on restoration. You get your eyes on the power of love. And that is going to be what guides you. Not of sin, of self, or others. Commands of the Mosaic Law, continuing point four. Commands of the Mosaic Law draw attention to sin, the sin nature, and the penalty. If you live by law, or when I say law, I mean any list. You know, we don't live by the Mosaic, but your church, your denomination has this list of the do's and don'ts. Here a little here and a little there. Commands of the Mosaic Law draw attention to sin, your sin nature, and the penalty. The command of Jesus Christ draws attention to Jesus Christ and His love for you. You are, by definition, by the structure of the commands of the Mosaic Law, to think of sin, what I should do, what I can do, do and do, do and do, do not do this, do not do that. By its very nature, I have to do that. To think about all the things I can do, all the things I shouldn't do. You think in terms of the new commandment. You just think of Jesus Christ. This is why I'm in teaching teenagers. Parents of teenagers, but teenagers. You give your teenager a long list of everything they shouldn't do. Well, don't smoke, don't drink, don't do drugs, don't go with girls who do, don't go with guys who do, don't drive over here, don't drive over there. One of the closest friends I had after high school, and we're still friends, he's a state legislator of Texas, and came and saw me when I was just after my surgery. And he was telling me later, he went to a school in Houston called Lamar, and I went to Reagan in the Heights. And when he was in high school, his dad gave him a car, not a new car, but gave him a car. It had one restriction. One restriction. He could not drive it in the Heights, which is where I grew up. He said, boy, I didn't know what it was over there, but it must have been really bad. And then he said he went somewhere, and there was a lot of people from the Heights and from Reagan. He kind of liked them, and so he drove over there. And he said, boy, if Dad ever finds out, I'll lose my car. But that's where your mind is occupied with. That's what your mind is going to think about. What you do, what you don't do. So you tell teenagers all these things they can't do. Well, you've done several things. Number one, that's all they're going to be thinking about. And number two, the nature of our flesh. Every parent knows this. Don't touch that. You're not going to get out of the room until they touch it. Every parent knows this. Don't is the biggest spotlight of do. The kid may not even thought about it. The kid walked in the room, wouldn't even think of touching that. Just by the way you've been rearing it, even as a little, you just think, and then all of a sudden you say, don't touch it. Ah. It's kind of like, don't eat of the tree. I don't know how many, but I say 100 trees. Every kind of fruit, bananas and pineapples, just some wonderful things in the garden. Just all over. No. Boy, there's that tree. There's that tree. Look at that fruit on that tree. See, it's what it does. Tell your kid this. Let's pick on the teenage boy. You treat your day tonight with the love or with Christ has loved you. Well, that there's no discussion. You haven't set up laws. You haven't set up boundaries. You just treat her with love that Christ loved you. You walk in the Spirit. Oh, well, you can't trust teenagers with that. Well, I say to people who tell me that, your way's not working too well. Your way's a total failure. I'd like to try the Holy Spirit a while to see what would happen. See, there are no questions. There are no questions. Well, can we French kiss? Can we do this? Can we do that? And you got to go through all this because that's what the law begs. You treat her and you protect her, and you deal with her as the love or with Christ has loved you. There are no discussions. There's no driving 50. Can I drive 55? Is the speed limit's 50? It does not lend itself. Loving as Christ loved doesn't lend itself to all kinds of questions that the law does. See? Point five. The law of Jesus Christ, love one another as He has loved you, is in itself freedom. The law of Christ, this commandment to love one another as He loved you, is in itself freedom from enslavement of the Mosaic Law. People, it is in itself freedom from the power of sin in your life. This is powerful. The new commandment is in its very nature freedom from the power of sin over your life. You can make decisions concentrating on your weaknesses, based on your weaknesses, or you can make decisions based on the strength of Christ's love for you. Loving another believer as Christ loves you frees you from the power of sin and glorifies the love of God. You get to choose. You want to live by the power of sin, or you want to live by the power of His love? People, please understand, sin has power. Spiritual love has power. You can look at them both as a force. When you live by the Mosaic Law, you live under the power of sin. When you try to break that power of sin under the law, you become more enslaved to it. Become more enslaved. I'm sure you know why. Certain branches of the Baptist are against dancing. Nothing wrong with dancing, and most of them will tell you that. So why are we against dance? Why are they against dancing? I'll tell you why they're against it. Because dancing may lead to the bodies being together of a man and woman, and that may lead to arousing them, and that will lead to inappropriate sex after her leave and go do it. So the best way to do it, prevent all of that, rather than just saying, don't have sex. We just don't dance. So what I'm trying to show you here is, let's make laws to prevent this and just keep piling on the laws. And it just enslaves you more and more and more of things you can and cannot do when you choose to live under the law. So you become more enslaved to it. Don't do this sin. Well, then we're going to put, don't do this because it'll lead to that. Don't do this because it'll lead to that. And you just keep piling on the law. Is there a better way? Is there another way that we take this end result we don't want? And we'll all agree to that. Is there a better way not to get there? Yes. The love of Christ. Spiritual love flowing through us for the other person. Just powerful. Point six. Commands of the Mosaic Law being oriented to sin are therefore related to and emphasize the justice of God and the holiness of God, or the righteousness of God. They emphasize His righteousness and His justice. And you better live in fear of the righteousness and justice of God. Mosaic Law emphasizes sin, how sin is a violation of the holiness of God, and then God is going to judge you. So point six, the commands of the Mosaic Law being oriented to sin are therefore related and emphasize the righteousness of God and the justice of God, and therefore you live in fear of the holiness of God being judged. See, Mosaic Law emphasizes sin and how sin violates the holiness and righteousness and justice of God. And God is going to judge and get you. You're occupied with God, all right, but in fear of Him when you live under the law. You're occupied with God, all right, but in the fear of Him. You emphasize your love for Him rather than his love for you. This is very crucial, people. You live under law, and I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that sin. Why? Because I love him. What is your emphasis? My love for him, rather than his love for you. What is crucial, people? Your love for him or his love for you? We love him because what? He first loved us. That's the emphasis. But you live by the law, you emphasize how I love him, and because I love him, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that because I love him. What happens when you live under the new commandment? Because he loves me. I will love this other person the way he loves me. People, I want you to see the whole change that happens under the new commandment as opposed to the Mosaic law. It's extremely dangerous to try to think about how much you love God. So many believers really live on, oh, I love God, I just love him, and all this kind of thing. And therefore, God ought to love me. Let me tell you something, people. This is a very dangerous thing, and you should know it from the human realm. I love you so much. A woman tells a man tells a woman. And therefore, because I love you, that ought to control you. How can you do that to me when I told you I loved you? We want our love to control. So, God, I love you. And God's going to be so impressed, he's going to be really good to me. And then when he's not, we're like a woman whose husband doesn't love her in return. And she's broken and she needs help. And she tells everybody how horrible a man he is because she loved him and he did not love her in return. Like, my love is some kind of a gun that's supposed to control them. Don't ever do that, people. Don't get sucked up in that. Well, but I love you. You're supposed to roll over for me now. You're supposed to never do anything wrong now. We're caught up in our own love. And that's what the Mosaic Law does. And that's what living under do and do does. You don't want to get caught up under your love. You want to get caught up under his love for you. That's what will have impact on you. Not your love for him. His love for you. So the emphasis is not your love for God, your love for Christ, but his love for you. But again, when you live under the law, or some list, you're aware of your failures, your sins, and see, you go to the arrogant side, I love you so much I don't do these things, or I failed you, and what happens now? I'm just not worthy of your love. I'm not worthy. And so you have a whole lot of self-judgment going on. So much self-judgment. But on the other hand, I just want to talk about it. When you try to emphasize your love for him, God is going to be so impressed that he's going to do things for you. Now here's the big secret. Let me give you the big secret. When you love as Christ loved you, get ready, you fulfill the whole law. And there is no other way to fulfill the whole law. Look at Romans 7 with me. Romans 7. In my imaginary world, we would have already been in chapter 7 when I first started the book of Romans. But that's my imaginary world. That's not the world of reality. All right, Romans 7. Let's read Romans 7 and 8 together. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I know not, for I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, produced in me coveting of every kind. But sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, produced in me coveting of every kind. Wouldn't have even thought of them. For apart from the law, sin is dead. It's my little analogy. The little kid walked into the room. He'd have never thought about doing something, looking some, touching something. But you made a point. Don't touch this. Okay, so the law pointed it out. The law said, here it is. Go touch it. That's what Paul is saying here in our study. The Mosaic Law causes man to be aware of sin and the power of sin. When you live by the Mosaic Law, not only do you not please God, but you become aware of your sin. You become aware of the power of sin. The Mosaic Law retains goodness in that its requirement conforms to the holiness of God, Romans 7:12. But the commandments point out our sinfulness that we cannot obey them in the flesh. Point 7. The law of Christ, command to love one another as He has loved us, brings into light the fulfillment of the holiness of God. If you're occupied with the holiness of God, then this point's for you. The love of Christ, command to love one another as He loved us, brings into light the fullness of the holiness of God. It brings in the solution to the righteousness and justice of God. What is the solution to the holiness of God? The love of Christ. What is the solution to the righteousness and justice of God? The love of Jesus Christ. Therefore, when you love as He loved, you bring into solution the holiness of God. The principle is this. Sin had to be unmasked not so clear as that may sound to you. It may sound a little puzzling. But sin had to be unmasked, brought into the open, revealed. This is sin. This is wrong. Before the solution of sin could come. See, if I didn't know that I needed Christ, Christ came, why would I come to Him? So what has to be pointed out first is my need for Christ. My need for Him. Then God brought the Savior. Let me give you the pattern. First, sin. Then the necessity to reveal sin. First, sin. Then the necessity to reveal sin. Bring the fact of sin into light. Where man could understand sin and the power of sin. This is why God brought the Mosaic Law. So that sin could be revealed. And sin had to be revealed so that man would see his need. Here it is, people. So that man would see his need of redemption and of God's love. See God's love sending the solution, sending redemption. Now the solution to sin can come. Man's now aware of his sin. Now he can bring the solution to sin. And man will see it. Love sets us free, people. Love allows us to see our sinful state, not deny it. Then love liberates us from that enslavement. Love allows us to see our sinful state, not deny it. Then love liberates us from that enslavement. This is the true understanding, people, of 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:8 is the important passage, not 1:9. What's the condition of the people in 1:8? Denial. They deny they sin. Oh, dear people, if you deny your sin, then you don't need spiritual recovery. You won't need it. And that's why the beckoning in verse 9 of 1 John doesn't solve the problem. It brings you to the problem and then brings you to the solution. Acknowledge that you sin. Stop denying it. Acknowledge that you sin. Love allows us to see our sinful state, not deny it. Don't be afraid. He's not going to take away your salvation. See your sin. Acknowledge your sin. Know that you're a sinner. Don't deny it. Then come to His love by faith. Come to His love by faith in the Spirit, and you're restored. This is the beauty. The second part of the pattern, the work of Christ on the cross. Motivated by His love, freed us from our past, and sets us free from the guilt of sin. How did that happen? It happened by taking our guilt upon Himself. And therefore, we can forget the past as it relates to sin. That part of our past belongs to Jesus Christ. He Himself bore our sin on the cross. And it's taken care of there. When you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, your past guilt is crucified with Him, Galatians 6. You are free from your sinful past. And here's this is important. Your past now begins at the cross, and you never want to leave that past. Your past now begins at the cross, and now your past determines your future. We've seen this principle before. A person's past determines their present and their future. You move away from your past, you move away from that. We saw this last night. You move away from that influence of your grandparents and your parents and all these wonderful things, and you move. You have no past to guide you in the future. You have no past to guide you. That's why so many Americans are bumping into walls and miserable and stress and depression and all the rest of it. They have no past. They have no idea how to make a decision in dealing with the future because they have no past. Jesus Christ freed us from the worry over the future. We do not need to worry about the future. We do not need to fear the future. Our future is secure in Him. Our past in sin is taken care on the cross by Him, and the security of our future is secure in Him. Okay, people, note something about the effect of love. Note something about the effect of love here. Love. Spiritual love, and we should copy it in romantic love, but spiritual love takes care of the sinful past. Love secures the future. Learn about the love of Jesus Christ for you, and you will learn what your love will do to others. Love of Jesus Christ freed us of the past and secured the future. This is what your love should do for others. It forgets the past. You go to help someone in Galatians 6 because they have sinned. Forget that past and secures the future of walking with the Lord. This is what your love does. This is what living under the new commandment can do. First, we're weighted down with the past. Depression. Many people live in depression today. And what happens when you live in depression? People, think about this now. When you live in depression, you're living in the past and you fear the future. That's very important about depression. When you live in depression, you live in the past and you fear the future. You're depressed. You cannot free yourself from the past and you fear the future. So first of all, you're weighted down with the past, then you're uncertain of the future. You now fear the future, and therefore you cannot live in the present. That's the next step of this. Because of the fear of the future, you cannot live in the present. That's why people commit suicide. That's why people run. Cannot free yourself of the past, no security in the future, and therefore fear of the present. You cannot live in the present. Jesus Christ's love has set us free of the past. Jesus Christ's love has freed us of the uncertainty of the future. You go to help another believer, as Christ did us on the cross. You go to help another believer. They're so burdened with their sin. Have no idea what's going to happen to them. What's God going to do? They don't know. You come along and show them. It's secure. Think about what your think about His love does for you and what your love will do for others. Okay, we'll resume here next Wednesday evening. Happy Valentine's Day. Father, how awesome is your love? How awesome when we can love and do love as you loved us, by the power of your Spirit. This new commandment is so powerful in our lives, Father. And just pray that your Spirit take the things we saw tonight, a lot of things, let them bear fruit in our soul and then in our lives. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.